It's hot outside, but you don't have to think about the heat. Think about your breath. The breath is here too. And the breath is neither cold nor hot. It's just energy moving through the body. Learn how to step outside of your thoughts. Just stay with the awareness of the breath, which doesn't require much thinking. In the beginning, you want to adjust it so it feels good. Is it too long or too short? Well, experiment. Breathe longer for a while. Breathe shorter for a while. Which feels better? How about deep or shallow? Heavy or light? Fast or slow? Experiment with that. Take an interest in the breath. You find that you forget about the heat. Because the heat doesn't require a commentary from you. You don't have to keep talking about it. In fact, the more you talk about it, the more you weigh the mind down. The heat begins to seem oppressive. But if you're not talking about it, you find it's perfectly okay. You have something better to get interested in. Because the breath, when it flows well in the body, is good for the body, it's good for the health of the body, good for the health of your mind. So that's something you can, that's an area where you can make a useful change. You can't go out and chase the sun away, chase the heat away. But you can change your breathing. Breathe in a way that feels good, feels refreshing. You may notice there are some spots of the body that are cooler than others. I'll focus your attention there. Breathe through those. Think of that cool sensation spreading to different parts of the body. And staying with the sensation of the breath allows you to get outside of your thoughts. This is an important skill. The Buddha calls it dhammavicaya, analysis of dhammas. It's one of the factors for awakening. You build on mindfulness, like right now you're being mindful of the breath. And then you want to notice which thoughts in the mind are skillful. In other words, the thoughts that if you follow them will actually get you to do good things. Which thoughts are unskillful. The thoughts that if you follow them would lead you to do things that would lead to more suffering. And the best way to see those thoughts is to step outside of them. So the breath provides you a place where you can step outside your thoughts. When the Buddha said he got on the path, it was at this point where he could step outside of his thoughts and see which ones were worth encouraging, which ones were not. He looked at them not as to whether he liked them or not, or whether they were entertaining or not, but he looked at them, one, where they came from in his mind, what qualities of the mind they were expressing, and then, two, what results they would have, what kind of actions would they lead to. He could divide his thoughts into two types. On the one side, there were thoughts that were imbued with sensuality, ill will, harmfulness. They came from bad attitudes in the mind, greed, aversion, delusion, and they would lead to unskillful actions. So he said with thoughts like that, he would try to beat them back. In other words, not encourage them. Do what he could to wipe them out of the mind. He made a comparison with being a cowherd. Back in those days, during the rainy season, people would plant rice in their fields. And one of the big concerns about people who had cows was that the cows would get in somebody's rice field and eat the rice, and there'd be problems. Sometimes people even went to court. So the cowherd has to be very careful to make sure the cows don't get into the rice. If he sees them heading toward the rice fields, he beats them back. In the same way, the Buddha said he beat back his thoughts that were imbued with sensuality, ill will, harmfulness. But then there were thoughts that were imbued with renunciation, looking for happiness, looking for well-being. That doesn't involve sensuality. Thoughts that were imbued with non-ill will, in other words, goodwill. Thoughts that were imbued with harmlessness. In other words, thoughts that had compassion. Now those thoughts, he said, were actually good. They came from a good part of the mind. Good attitudes in the mind. And they led you to do good things. So those thoughts, he said, let them wander as they liked. Just like a cowherd during the dry season. The rice has been harvested. There's no danger the cows are going to get into the rice plants. Because the rice plants have all been cut down. So they can wander wherever they want. All he has to do is be aware of the fact that they're over there someplace. And otherwise, he can just lie down under the tree and rest. He said the only harm from letting his thoughts wander, though, would be that the mind, if it's thinking all day, all night, it gets tired. So then the mind is more inclined to settle down into concentration. So you use concentration to step out of your thoughts. And then when you can step out of your thoughts, you can take care of them. In other words, fight off the ones that are unskillful. Encourage the ones that are skillful to the point where you feel the mind needs a place to rest. then because you've been thinking skillful thoughts, it's a lot easier to rest. If you've been thinking unskillful thoughts, then there's a lot of back and forth, because part of the mind likes those unskillful thoughts and doesn't want to give them up. So there's a fight. But if you already had the fight and won the fight, in other words, the skillful thoughts have taken over, then it's a lot easier to just drop your thinking and just be with a sensation of the breath. As the Buddha said, you get to the point where you're aware of the body, but you're not thinking thoughts about it, you just have a perception. A perception is a label you put on things, naming them, telling them what they mean. That's all you need in order to stay. Prior to that, you have to think. How is the breath right now? Is the breath comfortable? Is it easy to stay with? Is it not easy to stay with? What can I do to make it more comfortable, more interesting? That requires some thinking, but it's good thinking. But there comes a point where you've thought enough and it's time to just be with the perception of breath, with the sensation that the breath is filling the whole body. When you breathe in, every cell in your body is breathing in, every cell in your body is breathing out. And they're all refreshed by the breath. When you do this, this is the beginning of wisdom, as the Buddha said. This factor of awakening called analysis of qualities, dhammavicaya, is the discernment faculty or the wisdom faculty. This is when you begin to make distinctions about what's right and what's wrong, what path you should follow, what path you should not follow. It's based on having some concentration, but it also makes it easier for there to be more concentration. This is a principle you should see throughout the Buddha's teachings. You need some discernment in order to get the mind to settle down. But you also have to have the mind settled down and quiet for the discernment to get really sharp. So they help each other along. As you go through the day, you find that you need your discernment to decide what things you should be thinking, what things you should not be thinking. And some people say, well, I don't have a good, strong concentration yet, so I don't have any discernment. We all have discernment to some extent. Otherwise, we wouldn't be human beings. Next question is, how are you using your discernment? The discernment gets sharper by using it. But that's the big question. What kind of thinking is worthwhile, should be encouraged? What kind of thinking should not be encouraged? And you want to stand in a position where you can step out of your thoughts and see them for where they're going to go. Otherwise, we just dive into our thoughts. And only then do we begin to think, where is this going to take me? Sometimes we don't even think that. We just decide whether we like the thought or don't like the thought, which is not a really reliable guide. You have to be able to step outside. And then you can see where these thoughts are coming from, see where they're going. You have a good idea of which ones are worth getting into, which ones are not. It's like standing on the side of a road. If the sun is hot, you're tired, and someone drives up with an air-conditioned car and says, hey, hop in. You tend to hop in and go. And then only after you're in the car do you start asking, well, where are you going? That's not safe at all. You want to have an air-conditioned bus stop. So the car drives up, you can ask, before you hop in the car, you ask, where are you going? Where are you coming from? And you get in only when you see that this car is coming from a good spot, going to a good place, and the driver looks reliable. So this ability to choose your thinking, based not on what you like and what you don't like, but based on where it's going to take you, that falls in line with the Buddhist principle and discernment I mentioned earlier this morning. The big question is, what when I do it will lead to my long-term welfare and happiness? Well, the same principle applies to your thoughts. What thoughts, when I think them, will lead to long-term welfare and happiness? And use the breath as a place where you can step outside. Because you can see these thoughts, where they're coming from, where they're going, a lot more easily when you're not inside them. So take the breath as your home base. The sensation of the breathing as it fills the body. And that puts you in a position where you can make the best choices.